desire and interest in your prayers. I'm not very accustomed to coming into a meeting like this and standing up here in the first service that I'm in, but desire and interest that in your prayers that you would be able to follow the thought that we have, and that the Lord would help us being able to deliver the burden that's on our heart. I'd like to write a few words on the board. Would like to talk to you today about a new creature. We live in an age where a lot of people are accustomed to taking selfies. In fact, some of them are so good that it looks like a professional photographer took them. At least that's my perception. When I take a selfie, it's like, surely it doesn't look quite like that. I don't know how to hold my head and all of that, but I'm wishing that it was a little more, I don't know, that it looked better. But there is a lot of people that's very satisfied with who they are. In fact, they've been practicing presenting themselves, taking selfies, and trying to look their best. And their desire to be something different maybe is not quite as acute as mine is. And I'm thinking today about the things that we'd like to be different. I've worked all my life in a repair industry. You all know that. Most everyone here does. And some of you might have the perception that my job can be pretty easy. I know people come into our place of work and say, well, someone has hooked up a piece of equipment and they say that I need this part replaced. That's really all there is to it. And they don't understand maybe what all goes into knowing what to put on and what to replace and maybe what to adjust and all of those things. Yesterday, just before I had to run an errand to tie up some loose ends, as Brother Philip was talking about, to be able to be here. And just before I left for my lunch break, a customer came to pick up a vehicle that we had worked on. And it came to us on a tow truck. Wouldn't run, wouldn't start. And when you twisted the key, nothing happened. The battery was hooked up. So after a process of doing some testing, we determined that there was a defective component on it, and we waited till the part got there and replaced that, and it started. And not only would the starter turn the engine, but the engine actually began to run, but it didn't run correctly. It was running rough. And one of the cylinders was missing. And so when the customer, it was communicated to the customer. The customer came to get it and said, well, they want to know, what's it going to take to fix it? And I'd done just a little bit more testing. And I told him, I said, you need this other part right here. I know it's bad. I can show you right here. This is what's wrong with this part. And they said, If I put that on, will it be fixed? And I said, I didn't say that. I said, that part is bad. I don't know if it's going to run right or not, but that part is bad. I know that. Now, a little backstory. This minivan came to us, and it hasn't had a close encounter with a vacuum or any soap in months and maybe years. And so it's been neglected. I don't know if this part will make all the problems go away or not. In their vision was some kind of smooth running, maybe a new car, I don't know, but that one part wasn't going to make it that way. And many times we think we can exchange something for a fix, for a repair, and all of our problems will go away. Money is the commodity that we use in our economy to purchase the services and the things that we want and things that we need to make life better and to make life more comfortable and all of that. And that's what we're used to using, is money. But money won't always produce the result that we need. It won't always produce the effect that we have pictured in our mind. It won't buy happiness. It won't buy contentment. It won't buy satisfaction. A different house and a different car. A different job. Maybe a different family. Or in our world today, people think a different spouse would make their life better. I believe that there's solutions for difficulties in life. I believe there's solutions to those evasive problems in automobiles, or otherwise I would have quit it about 40 years ago. I believe there are solutions for our spiritual needs, or I wouldn't be here. I'd be doing something else on Memorial Day weekend. I believe in something very strongly called a new creature. I believe that you and I can become something different than what we've been in the past. I believe it's more than a new coil pack or a new PCM, or it's more than a new job or a new house. It's more than those things that you think might make your life better. I believe that we can be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and read a passage of scripture beginning in verse 11. It says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." I believe that we are all going to be held accountable before God. I am, you are, no one is going to escape. I believe it's going to be an awful thing for sinners to be found in the hand of God. It's for the terror of the Lord that we persuade men. It's because I believe there's a day of reckoning that I would venture to stand and speak to you today. Not because I've been practicing in the mirror to where I feel like my presentation is good and all of those things. I believe this. I endeavor to live by it. It says in verse 12, "For we command not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." There are those that esteem outward demonstration, and those that esteem the superficial very highly. But he says here, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. A new creature in solving life's problems is all about from deep within. It says here, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that we should live, not henceforth, that we should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Christ was not there in the flesh at that time. That's not how we're going to know Christ today, is not in the literal flesh. I can't shake his hand like I can shake your hand. I can't see the literal eyes. I can't hear his literal voice unless he chooses to speak to me that way. He says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's my burden today, that we would get a hold of this picture, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Old things, old minivans, maybe an old house that needs a lot of repairs. I've made decisions in my life to repair things that others would not. Sometimes for myself and sometimes for others. I have my reasons for making the decisions I have, and if you looked at my odometer, you would probably make a different decision. But here he says, he's talking about us becoming something new. I made a decision just recently, this in the last week, to make a repair, because I'm unwilling to spend what it takes to get new. Many times in life, we want to fix something instead of making it new. We want to resolve an issue instead of becoming a new creature. I think we get distorted sometimes in our thought process of what a new creature is, because our perception is if we're able to fix, and we have maybe a small list of things, then it'll be the same as new. I've made those decisions on my temporal things. If I would fix these certain things, then it would be as good as a new one to me. I told my wife on the way down here, it does everything that I want it to do, so why should I get something new? I'll fix what's broke. And life many times is like that. We think if we can fix certain things, it'll be as good as new. But I'm telling you, when your odometer says 409136, it's not new. All right? Even if somebody says it really looks nice, that's not what the odometer says. When we say, if we could just fix this problem, I'd feel like a new man Well, maybe. There's a few things about me today that physically, if this was fixed, I would feel like a new man. But my driver's license says my birth date was a long time ago. I wouldn't be a new man. But this is talking about a spiritual element. He says he wants us to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He goes on to say, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. The whole gospel message, one of the major components of it, is that we would be able to get the message to others that God wants you and him to be reconciled together. He wants you to be a new creature, not with just band-aids on an old creature, but a real new creature. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I hope that is the message, or that's the thought, the hope that you get from this little message this morning. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. The message and the appeal today is that you would be reconciled. The only way to truly be reconciled is to become a new creature. Now, I spent many years working at a new car dealership, and they would do something called a certified pre-owned inspection. And a certified used car was one that came with a full warranty. But we had a, 129-point inspection, and they had to be, everything had to be repaired until, and usually it was a low mileage vehicle. You wouldn't take my truck in and get it be certified to be sold with a warranty. I promise you that. They wouldn't take it. It's still not a new car. It's still got some miles on the clock. But God wants to take you. Somehow, I don't feel like I'm doing this very well, but somehow we've got to get the idea in our minds and our hearts that God wants us to be completely new. Not certified pre-owned, pre-owned by the devil, pre-owned by whatever hiccups and hang-ups you've had in the past, but completely new. It's available to us. It's a concept that's hard for men to get a hold of in our rational minds. How can this thing be the same as new? Over the course of my working career, I've had people come in. I've got this dream, this aspiration, this thing that used to belong to my dad or my grandpa. I want it to be new again. You know what usually happens? They run out of money. It takes more money to make something old new again than it did to buy it new or to go buy a new one. You know, it takes a lot. There's a huge process to become a new creature. It's available. You know, we generate scrap where I work, broken parts, worn out stuff. And we load it up and haul it to a place called Missouri Recycling. And they sort it by cast, by aluminum, by brass, by tin, they call it. And they grind it, crush it, and ultimately they melt it. And then they make it into something totally different and sell it back to me. And when I go by T-Post and I go and buy these purlins for these steel buildings, I'm buying my old used parts that I sold to them. It's something totally new. I don't know that that whatever that piece was that I sold them for scrap, and now I'm buying it back for a T-post, a new T-post. That T-post don't know that it was used to be a spring or a water pump. They don't have a clue about that. It's a T-post now. And we can be that kind of new creature. You know, somebody come along and say, well, you used to be, well, that's the old man. I'm not like that anymore. Christ has made something new. And how is he able to make something new? It's because I'm willing to be put in a place where I can become pourable, malleable, shapeable, conformable into his image. It's the only way it'll work. You can't bolt on a new part. You can't do some kind of minor repair. Sometimes I think we have this perception that a new creature is some type of cream that you rub on the outside or a vitamin that you take. It just doesn't work that way. You don't get, regardless of what the advertisements may say, you don't get new skin by rubbing something on the outside of your old skin. It don't work that way. We've got to become new. We've got to be completely malleable in his hands. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, talks about the vessel marring in the potter's hand. I hope you'll allow me to use this way. In Jeremiah chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse 1. He said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel. And it seemed good to the potter to make it, as seemed good to the potter to make it. That's an important verse. That's an important word. That's an important phrase. He remade it as it seemed good to the potter. Many times people come to me and say, I want you to balance my tires. Okay. Will that keep it from pulling? Nope. It won't help that at all. We come to the Lord sometimes, Lord, would you make this problem go away? That'll make me fulfilled, won't it? Don't work that way. We got problems, we're going to have to come and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Obviously, if I did, I wouldn't have got in this mess. Somehow, you're going to have to get molten before the Lord. I don't care what it takes. I'll let y'all in on a little secret. I've worked almost all of my life on something called the flat rate iron. That means that I get paid for how much work I get done. And many times when it comes down to making the problem go away, I've done what I thought was best. I've done what the customer wanted me to do. I've done what my boss told me to do or whatever it was, and it still had a problem. And I've been down to the point, it's like, I don't care. If I don't make any money, I've got to fix this problem. I've stayed late. I've went in early. I've skipped lunch. I've made tools. I've done all kinds of things down through life to fix these kinds of problems. You know what's going to make you a new creature? You know how to get molten? You're going to have to get down to the point of, I don't care if I'm saving face. I don't care if others look on me like I'm successful or unsuccessful. I don't care whether it appears that someone else has got the upper hand or not. I got to be the new creature. I got to be remade into something that the Lord is pleased with and he can put his stamp of approval on. So when the vessel marred, he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. If that was true for the house of Israel, shouldn't that be true for us today? If I want to be successful, if I want to be a new creature, or you may be here today, I'm looking for something to help me with my problems, with my emotions. I want a fix. I want a solution to something. I'm going to tell you the solution is to genuinely become a new creature. It's the only thing that's going to make it all go away. The clay was taken to a molten state, if you will. The thing, whatever it had been formed, however it had been solidified and taken a shape, that was completely dissolved. It was disintegrated. It was mixed with maybe new clay. Maybe it was just had water added to it. I don't know. I'm not a potter. All I know is what the verse said. The invitation was for Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house so he could be given an illustration, so he could understand what it meant to become something different than he had been. Completely rebuilt. I'd like to go to John, the third chapter. St. John, read a very familiar account to us this morning. Nicodemus was a man that came to Jesus by night. It says in the first verse, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, he had achieved a level of recognition, achieved a level of success, of spiritual prosperity, recognition. I don't know what you want to call it. He wasn't a nobody. But there was something in him that he thought needed a little fixing. And he saw something in Jesus. And he came to Jesus and said, it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It's got a period at the end of that. But somehow I believe Nicodemus was trying to ask a question. I don't know if he was specifically saying, how do you do that? I don't know if he was specifically saying, can you do something for me? But there seems to be some kind of desire in Nicodemus. He came and made a statement. I used to be in a situation where someone would say, there's something about my house or my car or my lawnmower that, or whatever it was, that's just not working just correctly. It was a statement. And because I was in a close relationship with them, it was there was a question under all of that. Can you fix it? That was a question. But that's not what they said. And my response off scene, not to them, was, if you would like for me to repair something, all you have to do is say, do you think you can repair this? That's all you have to do. But don't hint and assume that I know exactly what you want done. Now, Nicodemus came to Jesus kind of like that. And he said, then the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher from God. Yeah. The evidence is in. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And he stopped. You know, I think sometimes we come to the Lord like that. And we say, Lord, you know, you have really blessed me in life, and I'm thankful for all the blessings you've given to me, and I feel that you've gave me understanding and all of that, and it's like, do you want something? Are you asking the Lord for something? Are you just sincerely saying thank you? I think, I'm going to say, use a different word so it's clear. I believe it's important for us to say thank you to the Lord for his blessings. Please don't misunderstand me. And we ought to do it. I don't care how much you do it. We ought to do it more. Because he is a God that's worthy of praise and honor. But I'm not trying to, I don't want us to derail from our thought this morning. Many times I feel like we come and we really want something, but we're not willing to say what we want. I wonder what would have happened in that situation. I was talking about it. I said, well, that's too bad. I'm sorry your water heater don't work. And went home. I don't think that's what they were expecting. I know that's not what they were expecting. And I don't believe Nicodemus expected that to be the end of the conversation. Do you? He wanted something different. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, he answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, Lord, I wasn't asking for all of that. How can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Birth is not a superficial experience. You agree? Birth is not a superficial experience. Jesus said, not only birth, but born again. Born again. All of those, the stature that you are today, physically, mentally, spiritually, intellectually, all of those things, what it would be like to be melted down and born again? You know, you'd have to think about things differently, wouldn't you? You'd have to look at things differently, wouldn't you? You'd have to lay down some misconceptions and some preconceived ideas. I got to be an adult with my fair share of preconceived ideas and perceptions. And they were highly impacted by my home environment, by my parents. And it's difficult to lay any of those things down. Very difficult. You have a perception about how to live, how to dress, how to work, how to play, how to talk, all of those kind of things. It's hard to change. To be born again, it means to become a new creature. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom of God. Oh, you might see it in the distance. You might have a perception of it's over there somewheres, but you can't really have the vision. You know what will mean the success of the church of God in our world today? Is for you to be born again and really see, have a vision of what the church is and what it's supposed to do and how we can work together instead of against one another. Being born again and a new creature is so much more than fixing a problem. It's so much more than just binding up something that's loose or welding up a crack or whatever it is. It's so much more than that. I'd like to for us to think briefly about what it means to be in that molten state. Have you ever, I'm a neophyte when it comes to mixing concrete, and I got to go ask questions or do some studying about the ratios of sand and gravel and cement and all that kind of stuff, and so I usually buy something in a bag that's all mixed up, and my technical expertise is to add water until it's about the right consistency. And I know that when I can put water with it and I can mix it and mix it and think I mix it pretty good, and I go to try to use that stuff, and sometimes there's a dry spot down in there. I didn't have it get it all mixed thoroughly in. You know, when we're in the pliable, molten state, there's going to be things come to the surface. Take you back to my old neglected minivan that we started with. You know, we start out in our walk with the Lord. Lord, I got to have some help. I can't go on any longer. I've got to have your redemption power into my life. And we come to Him and repent, confess. Well, Lord, I want to be a new creature. I wonder how many of us are still in that molten state today. Am I pliable enough that when that old dry spot comes up, I can say, Lord, I have to add a little more water and a little more effort. I'm going to have to do some more mixing here. Or we're just going to pour it in anyway. I want to be a new creature. And I want to be pliable enough that the Lord can make me a new creature. There have been a lot of times in my life that the selfie I see is not the selfie I want to be. Been a lot of times that surely it don't look like that to everybody else. And it just might. It just might. Lord, I want to be a new creature. I want your help to stay in that pliable state. And when things come up, they don't look like you. Lord, help me have the grace to say that's part of the old man. I want it to be remade. I want to be different. Think of the song came to my mind. It says, show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Goes on in the chorus and says, remind me Remind me, dear Lord. I think sometimes of the propensities that all of us have had, and especially me, and where I could have been if I could go back in time to my teenage years and say 40 years in the future from that point on, a little bit different of a direction, where would I be? And I go back to the same point and I say, Lord, if I'd have made no bad decisions, if I would have always been 100% pliable, where would I be now? Would it be farther down the road? I believe we can take that phrase both ways. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. I want us this morning to get the thought of being a new creature, and not trying to undermine definite salvation or definite sanctification. But I know life has a way of turning things up in your life and my life. And I want to be pliable. I want to be an example of a new creature. You pray for me.